Okay, everybody said today's daf is daf Zion. We're up to daf Zion. And specifically, we're on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to start from 2.5 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins, Yosef Rab Yosef, Achoyre de Rab Abba, Yosef Rab Abba, Kamid Rav Huna. Boys, remember, we have a three-way machloikis. The Gabi, what then? Back in the Mishnah, daf Beis Amud Aleph. We said that if an idolater, an oivid kechovim, wants to pay off his debt to a Jew right before Idayin, before their holidays, said our Mishnah, the Tanakhama said, Osur lepoiron uvlefroya mehen. You're not allowed to go and take any payment on an existing loan. Why can't you? The Mishnah will explain in a moment. This is not a cause for him to be joyous and to be happy. Quite to the contrary, the fact that he has to go out of pocket and pay off a loan, he's probably very upset. So what's the problem of doing that prior to Idea? Omer writes, the Chacham said, at the moment when he has to pay off the debt, it hurts. He has to take the money out of the pocket, from under his mattress or whatever, and it hurts. However, liachazman, what means liachazman? Rashi in the Mishnah said, lemocha, the next day, he's going to be happy. He wakes up in the morning, Aitaka had to go and pay off a lot of money yesterday, but the good news is now I have a clean slate, new beginning, no more debts, I'm so happy. And therefore, we have to be concerned that if the holidays within the next 3 days, he's going to go and be moided to his avodah zarah and say, ah, thank you, Marcolius. I was able to pay off all my debts. I'm so happy. So we have there for a machlokes, the Tanakam of our Mishnah and Reb Yehuda. Where the Tanakam and the Mishnah said, don't allow him to pay off the debts within the 3 days prior to the secular religious idolaters' holidays. While Reb Yehuda said, no problem. He only has time. Now we have a third view, and that's the view of Reb Shu ben Karcha. What is Reb Shu ben Karcha? He's a shtickle bo hakos v'ashlishi v'yachriya b'neim. He distinguishes between a halva mishtar and a milva al peh. Where did we have the Reb Shu ben Karcha? 4 lines from the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, the sign of Reb Shu ben Karcha, Omer, milva mishtar ein nifroin mehen. If it's a milva mishtar, do not accept payment from them during the 3 days before the chag, between their chag. What's the reason why? So Rashi explained, because since there happens to be an outstanding shtar, he knows he's going to have to pay it one way or the other, this documentary evidence that he owes the money. So if he doesn't pay it now, he's going to have to pay it in a week, in a month, in a year. Rashi used the expression, kol shata mistapi minei. Every moment he's scared of the Jew that's going to come to him and insist, pay your debt. The maturity date is come and gone. You have to go and pay it. The fact that he pays it now, 3 days before his Yom Tov, he's very, very happy about that. No more pressure, no more concern that the Jew will bother me with his shtar. It's paid. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Markulis. On the other hand, if it happens to be a milval peh, then it says nifroi mehen. You are allowed to accept payment. Number one, vis-a-vis the idolater, he has no real major pressure going on. So the fact, because there's no document, so therefore if he pays it or doesn't pay it now, he doesn't have that tremendous simcha and thanks to his God. Moreover, from the Jewish perspective, if he's willing to go and pay it, take the money now. Who knows if he's going to be willing to pay and if he'll be in the position to pay in a week from now, in a month from now. So if you can get the money now, get it. How do we pass it among these three opinions? So that's what we're up to. 3 lines from the bottom. Yosef Rav Yosef, Yosef Rav Abba, Kamid Rav Huna. Rav Huna is giving the shir. He is the Rosh Hashiva. He's the Magid Shir. Yosef Rav, and he says, Hilchasa, Rav Shua ben Karcha. We pass Rav Shua ben Karcha. There's a difference between shtar and a milva alpe. Now we're going to get back to Rav Shua ben Karcha shortly. The focus now for the next few minutes is going to be on the Hilchasa Kereb Yehuda. So says Yemar, Hilchasa Rabbi Shimon Karchad Yemar. We just explained the difference between Mulu Bishtar and Mulu Alpeh. Where is there Rabbi Yehuda? the Sanya, it's really not the Sanya, it's a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? In the end of Masechta Bava Kama, where it says there in the Mishnah, Hanuysin Tzemer Letzaba Letzvoy Le'odoyim Utzvoy Shochar Shochar Utzvoy Odoyim. You have the Balabos, the customer, who owns raw wool. He wants this wool to be dyed red or black, and therefore he goes to the dyer, otherwise known as the Tzaba, and he asks him, please dye it red or dye it black. And a month later he comes back, and in fact, the Tzaba did a great job, but he switched the colors. Instead of doing it red, he did it black. Instead of black, he did it red. And of course, the customer is not happy, because he wanted to go and use this now to make a nice sweater for himself, or to make a nice suit. And therefore, he wants it to be red and not black. Or he wants it black, he doesn't want it to be red. What do we do at this point? So we have machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Says he more at the top of the Amud, Reb Meir, Oimer, Noisin loy demate samrai. What does that mean? It means that Saba, the dyer, has a din like a goslin. Not that he intended to do this, but bottom line is, since he was Mishana from the Das Balov, the customer did not intend to go make it black, he wanted him to make it red, or vice versa. So therefore, he's in a sense like a goslin. What happens? A goslin is koine b'shinui. The shinui was he changed it from the raw wool into red or black. Now it belongs to him. So what does he have to do? The tzaba has to pay the customer the value of the original raw wool. So if the raw wool was originally $10, even though now it's worth much more because he has dyed it, all he has to do is he writes out a check for $10 to the original customer. Perhaps he sends a note excusing himself and apologizing. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But that's not the key. The key is, in terms of the finances, the tzaba now owns the wool, and he has to pay for the wool to the customer. Reb Yehuda is not happy with that. Reb Yehuda says, if that's the case, it's like a choyte niska, because this tzaba, he didn't have to worry about originally procuring the wool. For all I know, not that the customer bought the raw wool, but rather he owned his own sheep and he let them grow the wool over a period of time, and now after all of that period of time he shored the wool from the backs of the sheep, and now he wants to go and change it from raw wool into red or black wool. So the tzaba is getting the benefit of getting the raw material, which he didn't have to worry about going and owning sheep and shearing the sheep and all the rest. So Reb Yehuda says it's really unfair to the customer just to go and pay him for the amount of the wool, and therefore, or the value of the wool. Therefore, says Reb Yehuda, we're going to reverse it. What means we're going to reverse it? We're going to have the customer go and pay the tzaba. However, if the original amount that the tzaba was charging, the moshul was, I'll pay you $50, not I'll pay you, I will charge you $50 for taking this raw wool and making it red, or making it black, or whatever they agree to. Instead of paying $50, we're going to go and tell the customer, you have to take the wool. But since you don't want it for me, you wanted it black, you didn't want it red, or vice versa, so we're going to give him a much, much lower rate that he has to go and pay. What is that rate? Says Reb Yehuda, Im ha-shvach yesal yitzia, noisim yesal yitzia. Tama yitzia yeser al ha-shvach, noisim le'es ha-shvach. Which means, we're going to go and find out what would the market pay for such new, renovated, refreshed, and dyed wool. That's what we call the shvach. The shvach means the new, higher price as a result of the improvement made by the dyer. And then what we call the yitzia is what was the cost, the expense, in dyeing it and changing it from the original raw wool to its new state of red wool, black wool, or whatever. So let's assume for a moment that, in fact, in the marketplace, this wool now commands a price of $60. $60 would have been the $10 for the original raw wool. The $50 that would normally be charged to convert the raw wool from raw wool to red wool. Okay, this is $10 initially, $50 it usually costs. Guess what? All the stores typically sell this new garment or this new wool for $60. Aha, okay, so then that shvach yesel yitzia, how much did it cost the tzaba to go and redden the wool or blacken the wool, in other words, dye the wool. So Rashi says you have to take all of the overhead costs into account. You go and give him the yitzias hasamamonim, whatever the dyes cost, right, to go and dye it, to make it black or red, the dye has to cost you money. The eitzim, the fuel to go and light the stove, so that the stove would be hot, and to be able to go and cook the samamonim. Uschar pa'ula, kischir yoim, you have to figure out what is the amount of time that it takes for someone to dye this wool. If it takes you a day, lemoshel, how much do you pay a day worker? $5 a day, $10 a day, whatever it was at that time. Okay, so therefore, if you take together all of those expenses, let's say the expenses come out to Ichweis, $30. Aha. Okay, so which one is more expensive? If the shvach is yesel yitzia, noisel is yitzia. Even though they originally made up on their contract $50 for dyeing this wool, but I didn't want black wool, I wanted red wool. So then you only have to go and pay him the yitzia. How much is the yitzia? We said $30. You pay $30. Obviously, vis-a-vis the tzaba, he's losing out. He was expecting to make $50 on this deal, but it was his own mistake. It's his own problem. So therefore, the customer benefits. He paid originally for the wool, the mushel, $10. That's how much the raw wool cost him. He's going to pay now $30 for the yitzia. It's now going to be worth $40. So the customer, if he decides that he likes it, b'diavad, he can hold on to the wool. If he wants, he can sell it and he can make a couple of dollars on it. Between the 40 and the 60, he'll be happy. Then my yitzia yaseira l'shvach, which means that you go and take such wool and you go and improve it. But guess what? There isn't a great market out there for red wool. Most people today want black wool or brown wool or whatever. And he happens to like red for whatever reason. So from his perspective, he likes it, but in fact, if you try to go and buy it or sell it in the outside market to get such dyed wool, you'd get maximum Amazon $25. Oh, that's very unfortunate. But guess what? The yitzia was $30. The amount that you, as far as the customer was concerned, he was willing to go and pay more because he wanted the red wool. But we no longer worry about the original rate. We worry about the current idiotsias, which are the overhead expenses that the tzaba had, vis-a-vis how much it's worth in the marketplace. And if in the marketplace this red wool is only commands a price of $25, and the yitzia, in fact, the expenses were $30, so then he's going to go and pay the lesser of the two.
If he wanted black, red.
It's only talking about that there was a boo-boo over here, either an intentional or a mistake. If he got what he was asked for, he wanted black wool and he got black wool, then of course he has to pay whatever contract rate they stipulated. However, if he's giving him the wrong thing, he asked for black and he got red, he asked for red and he got black. Huh, says Rebbe Yehuda, the customer is going to have to pay, but he pays the lesser of the two, the overhead expense that the tzaba had to go and expense to, he had to spend to go and create this red or black wool. That's the yitzia, and as far as the shvach, how much it would command outside in the open market. So he gives the lesser of the two. So that's the machloikis. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rameir that says that Tzaba has to go and pay the customer for the original wool? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that says that the customer has to pay the Tzaba that lower rate? Said Rav Huna, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Adrin Rabbi Yosef the Ape. Rabbi Yosef was sitting in front of him, like we said, Yosef Achir Rabbi. He was sitting there as one of the Talmidim, and he was not happy with what Rav Huna just said. And to show his disapproval, kind of turned his face back as if to say, big deal. What means big deal? I taka needed that for argument because after all, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the Omru law in our Mishnah, that's a rabbin. Rabbi Shimon Korch is a das yachid. I would think Yachav Rav Maloch Kiram would be passing like Rabbanan and not like Rabbi Shimon Korch. Kamash Lan Aloch Kiyachid. Aloch Rabbi Yehuda Lomeli. Why did he have to go and tell us Aloch Rabbi Yehuda? I know the Aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda. Pshita. To machloik viach kach stam, hilchus or kistam. we have a Talmudic rule that whenever you find two Mishnayos, one Mishnah has a machloikis between two Tanoim. Then you have another Mishnah which is Stam, meaning that Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not mention any names. It now becomes apparently a unanimous decision. What's halacha? That we always go like the Stam. What's the reason why we go like the Stam? Because initially, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, was putting together all the Mishnayos, he knew that there was a famous machloikis in the Besmedish of Sura or Nerdor or wherever, where they were arguing about a particular halacha. So first he codified the argument. Over time he heard that the Chachmei Yisrael had decided to favor one of the two opinions, and therefore he said, you know what? We're going to go make now a Stam Mishnah like the majority opinion. We're going to just follow that. What about the original Mishnah? Mishnah Leizazim Mimkoima. Since this was already so well ingrained among the Bnei Yeshiva that they all knew about that Machloikis, we leave the Machloikis in place. But then, subsequently, Rebbe went and added a Stam Mishnah, so we see that he's paskening like that Stam Mishnah. So that's why we have a general rule. Machloikis Yachach Stam, Hilchaso Ke Stam. And in our case, the Machloikis that we quoted here on the bottom of the Amid, that was a Mishnah Maseches Bava Kama. What's the Stam Mishnah? That's Maseches Bava Metzia. Ditnan. What does it say in Maseches Bava Metzia? In Perik Hasoichers Omnin. Kol Mishnah Yodei La Tachtoina. Kol Achoyze Bo Yodei La Tachtoina. Kol Mishnah is our case. We have the Tzaba that he was Mishana. Instead of making it black, he made it red. Yodei La Tachtoina. He loses out. How does he lose out? Because the contract rate was going to be $50. And now he's only going to receive the lesser of the two, the Yitzia or the Shvach. In our example before, we said the Yitzia was $30. The Shvach may have been worth $25. He's going to get the lesser of the two. Ah, Zokti Gemara, that's the Psak like Rav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda says that if you were Mishana, you're al Tachtoina, and the Tzaba unfortunately loses out. Not like Rameh, because Rameh says that the Tzaba wins the game in the sense that he has now the equivalent of the raw wool for free. Not for free, but he didn't have to go and put in the time and expense to get the raw wool, because all he has to do is pay the amount of the raw wool to the customer and goodbye. So therefore, it is Rabbi Yehuda's Yad al Tachtoina, and the Mishnah says, in Bar Metzia, we paskin like the Kol Mishani Yad al Tachtoina. So it's as if we're saying, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Besides that, we say v'chala choyze boi yodala tachtoyne. That choyze boi, this is a Mishnah in Perik HaSoichar Sa'umnin, where it says that if a person hired an employee, and then afterwards one of the two wants to go and change his mind, the employer says, employee, I no longer need you, I have enough other employees, or the employee changes his mind and says, I'm sorry, I don't like this work, I'm moving on. So whichever one happens to be yodala tachtoyne, the specifics, of course, are dealt with in the Mishnah there in Maseches Bava Metzia. But for all we need to know is these two halachas are brought together as Stam in Maseches Bava Metzia. So, L'chayi Rav Yosef is a very good point. We have in Bava Kama Machlokes Rameh Rav Yehuda. We have in Bava Metzia a Stam Mishnah. Machlokes Diakas Stam, Halachas Stam. So what is Rav Huna, what was he Mechadish? Rav Huna Mishum De'in Tzedel L'Mishnah. Rav Huna says, you really cannot trust the fact that the first Mishnah was Machloikis and the second Mishnah was Stam. Deklameimer Stam, Tana Bereshim, Yachach Machloikis. Even though in our published and codified Mishnayis and in our Svarim, we have the Mishnah in Bava Kama first, and we have the Mishnah in Bava Metzia second, it could very well be that Rebbe, when he was Masada the Shas, he wasn't finished with Bava Kama first, and he went on to Bava Metzia and then on to Bava Basra. Maybe certain Masechtis he learned, if you will, out of order, because he was able to Masader all of the Memris and all of the Psakim by the various Tanoim. So maybe he, in fact, finished Bava Metzia together with that Mishnah in Bava Metzia that says, Kol Mishani Yod Al Tachtoina, and that's what he learned and codified first. And then only subsequently did he hear that this, in fact, a big machloik is about this in Nerdo, in Surah, or wherever. And then he codified the earlier Mishnah in Bava Kama, which for him was really the later Mishnah. But when we learn it, we find it, if you will, out of order. Really, maybe Rebbe taught the Stam, Biachkav Machloikis. And if you have a Stam, Biachkav Machloikis, then you don't paskin like the Stam. The whole purpose of adding the Machloikis is to say, I thought that the halacha is like the stam, and then I realized, not sistaka machloikis, maybe not. Ah, so therefore, Rav Huna wanted to tell everybody, since we have a rule, ein seder l'mishnah, the ikar maybe you could have said that maybe instead of the machloikis coming first, and the stam was like the final psak, we pass like the stam, maybe in fact Rebbe had the two mishnais in reverse order. Maybe first, Ikulamemis Stam Tonabereshi. He first learned the Stam Mishnah, and then after that he had a change of heart, Viakach Machlaikis. That's why it was necessary for me, Rav Huna, to tell you the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. Frank Timura, when you're going with that approach, ain't say the Mishnah,
the whole principle.
Ihachi kol machlaikis viakach stam. Anytime you find throughout Shas this principle of kol machlaikis viakach stam, halacha kestam, say the same thing. Lema ain't say to the Mishnah. And then therefore this whole cloud will go away. Zarkimar Bravuna, no. Ki loy amrinan ain't say there, meaning ain't say to the Mishnah. That's Bechodim Mesechta. Trey Mesechti amrinan, says Bravuna, one second. It really depends when you're talking about one Mesechta or two Mesechtas. Because when it comes one Mesechta, there we assume, if you have a Machloikis, Viachach Stam, that Rebbe learned it in order and he codified it in order. The third perek comes before the fourth perek, or the fifth perek. And therefore, if you find a machloikis in perek gimel, and then after that you find a stam in perek vav, we paskin like the perek vav, because you started off machloikis, and then Rebbe had a change of heart, and he said, the halacha is like the stam, and that's why he put the stam mishnah subsequently. He says, Ravuna Vada, I agree with Rebbe Yosef in such a case. Machloikis, yachach stam, halacha stam. But he was a matrei mesachti. What trei mesachti? He is bava kama and he is bava metziah. It's possible, even today, all the youngsters, when they start learning Gemara, typically they start from the sechus bava metziah before bava. How can you learn bava metziah before bava kama? You learn it out of order in nishkefelach. Maybe that's what Rebbe did too. He first codified the whole sechus bava metziah, and one of those mishnayos was this stam mishnah of kol mishana yodar tachtoine. And only subsequently did he put together besides bava kama, where there it says that it's a machloikis. So instead of being a machloikis, yakach stam. Maybe it's a stam yakach machloikis. That's why I, Rav Huna, had to go and be machadish and tell everybody, no. We paskin like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef. What does Brother Shai say? Rav Yosef, why was Rav Yosef not in agreement with Rav Huna? Chai Rav Huna is doctor good. Rav Yosef says, Kula nezikin chodem mesechti. The entire Nezikin. Now, when we think of the entire Nezikin, we think of the whole Seder Nezikin. However, Rashi says, no. Nezikin Kulu, Flossa Bavi. We mean the Bava Kamba, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra. That's one long Mesechta. And so, therefore, if you have Bava Kamba before Bava Metziah, it's intended to be Bava Kamba first and Bava Metziah second. They're all part of one long Mesechta. So therefore, it is a Machloikis V'yachakach Stam. So, Kum Techois, we have a machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yosef. Do you treat Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, and Bava Basra as one large mesechta? And therefore it's a machloikis viach kach stam, v'alocha kistam, like Rav Yosef learns. Or Rav Huna said, no. Bottom line is they're considered to be separate mesechtas, and therefore you're entitled to make a siyam each time and have Mendy go and announce a gala siyam, because we just finished Bava Kama. You don't have to wait for all three. And you can go and say Kaddish, and you can make a siyam, and if it's in the 9 days, you can go and eat flesh, and all the rest. You see, it has practical application. Anyway, bottom line is, according to Rav Huna, since they are considered to be separate mesechtas, so you have no raya of the machloikis v'yach kach stam. V'yibo yisema, and I have a much simpler reason. The reason why Rav Huna knows that this is the psak, notwithstanding that maybe ain seder l'mishnah, and maybe the stam came before the machloikis, here it's special, Mishnah Tonila Gabi Hilchasa Psikta, because it is codified as part of the bottom line Halachis Psukais. It's as if Rebbe, had he been the Mesader of the Shulchan Aruch, he put it in Choshe Mishpat Simen Reish Gimel Seif Aleph. He put a Hilchasa Psikta Kepaskin. This is the final Halacha, the final verdict. What do you mean by that? Because the Mishnah is a Komishani Yarah Tachtoina for Halachoizim by Yarah Tachtoina. So you see by the way it's put together that this is intended to be, this is bottom line, black letter law. And Rashi adds to that, that in terms of the Kolmashani Yerot Tachtoina really has no business being in that Mishnah Maseches Bo Metzia, because we're not talking about transactions between customers and the dyers. We're not talking about Hilchos Gezeila. Where did that original halacha appear, that original Mishnah? In Perek HaGoyzel Eitzim, back in Bava Kama, where HaGoyzel Eitzim, the whole Mishnah over there talks about a person stole wood and then he manufactured tables out of it, or use it as lumber for building a building or whatever. So there we're talking about taking the raw materials and then you were mishana it. Does he have a din of a gazan? Doesn't he? Is a yish machinery shus? Is a yish alone? Or a yish, yish and the shinamaisa, because he would mishana it from eitzim into lumber, and so on and so forth. Ah, our case of mishana yarot tachtoin has nothing to do with bar mitzia. Bar mitzia, there we're talking about a soichas umnin kalachoyze by the employer or the employee changed his mind. Vukim terayin mishana yarot tachtoina. Oh, because Rebbe was in fact mishana that he took halach which is unrelated totally, and he inserted in that mishnah. It shows he wanted to collect together halachis psukais. Therefore, Ravuna says, Rebbe, Rav Yosef, I'm not going to debate with you whether the three Bavis are considered to be one Masechta or three Masechtas. It really makes no difference. The fact that Rebbe put it together with Halachas Psukais, that's the Rai we Paskin like Rav Yehuda. With this, we ended that shtickle, and now we come back to Rav Shu ben Karcha.
Okay, so we know that in Paskin Rav Yehuda, in the case of the dying,
What about here in our case? We're ignoring Rabbi Yehuda and we're going to Shimon Korcha. It feels like it's inconsistent.
You're asking a question now?
Yeah, I think that's your question. Yeah, I pick up his question. I'm bothering me also. We have Rabbi Yehuda here versus Rabbi Shimon Korcha versus the Tana Kama. We're saying Rabbi Huna is saying let's follow Rabbi Shimon Korcha and let's follow Rabbi Yehuda in the other case.
Right.
Why aren't we still with Rabbi Yehuda in both cases? Why are we ignoring Rabbi Yehuda here and following Rabbi Shimon Korcha instead?
The Gemara is not trying to show a contrast or a similarity between the two. The Gemara is just telling us a historical fact that one morning, let's say it was Wednesday morning, Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Rav Huna is giving a shir. At the end of the shir, he says, Rabbi Yisai, now I'm going to tell you halacha l'maisa. Unfortunately, there's no edition of the Rambam yet. We don't have the Shulchan Aruch yet. So I'm going to tell you halacha l'maisa. In our machlokes and our Gemara, we had a three-way machlokes, the Gabbai Shloshi Yom Lefnei Yedeim. We do not paskin like the Tana Kama. We do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin Rabbi Shimon Korcha. Done. Now, there's another machlokes, totally unrelated. Where's that machlokes in Bava Kama, dealing with the case of the customer at the Tzaba? There's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Is there any relationship between these two cases?
There is. Rabbi Yehuda is a major personality in both.
Yes.
It's bothering me why Rav Huna is saying, here we're choosing Rabbi Yehuda, and here we're not choosing Rabbi Yehuda. That's all. I think that Shaiva was your question.
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara is not bothered by that. The Gemara assumes because Rav Huna, using his wealth of Talmudic knowledge and understanding, and the Masoida from his Rebbes, and what he heard from all the other Tanoim and Amiroim arguing, doesn't say why he came up with this. Maybe he holds, because normally Halacha is Kedivri, the one that makes the Pshara, and Rabbi Yehuda is making the Pshara. Rav Shua ben Korcha made a nice Pshara. Or it could be simply he felt that this is Taka, the right Svara. That when you're talking about Mel Vishtar, the idolater is so happy, so therefore ain't afraid of him, because now he no longer has the pressure of having a document over his head. But the Mel Valpeh is not such a big pressure, because theoretically he could deny it. He doesn't have to worry about paying it or not paying it. And on the other hand, as far as the Jew is concerned, he's Matzal Miyodam. So the combination of these two factors, says Rav Huna, Rabbi Shu ben Korcha has a good argument, I prefer that, over both the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of the Mishana, we don't know why he prefers one over the other, but apparently again, Al Pi Svara, he thought that Rabbi Yehuda has the better argument, that you don't want Choyte Niskar, you don't want that the dyer, because he made this bubu, or he intentionally went and misdyed it, he should go and get the benefit of getting the raw goods and just paying for the raw goods. He should have to pay for his quote-unquote crime of changing the order. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. The customer will benefit by paying the lesser of the two. But again, the Gemara doesn't go into all this far. The Gemara just tells us halacha l'maisa Rav Huna paskin in one case like this and one case like that. I said either by mistake, by boo-boo, or he made it intentionally. Our Gemara doesn't go into that. It just tells us what's the bottom line rule. The bottom line rule is that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi. Now, from here until the Mishnah on the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring three more cases of machloikis between someone and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, and in each case, the Gemara is going to say we pass him like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Oh, I see everybody's ecstatic. Rashi earlier said that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Kiva, but this is not universally held. Toisus disagrees with Rashi. Rashi of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Kiva because the Gemara says, right, Ben Azza, I think, said about Rabbi Kiva.
He
said the Kareach Hazeh. He spoke a little bit disparagingly about Rabbi Kiva. And Toisus says, for that we're going to go and call his son Rabbi Shua ben Karcha if it's a disparaging remark, not Mistaber. Okay, Machlokes.
Bit of a nickname.
Fine. Let's go back to our Gemara. Three Piskei Halacha Rabbi Shua ben Karcha unrelated to our Gemara. Tana Rabban. What is this all about? This halacha of mitzvah cheftecha v'daber dover shloi hei diburcha shal Shabbos ki diburcha shal chol. The Torah, of course, says v'feirish yinalev du melacha on Shabbos. However, we learn out from Sukkim in Tanakh, not only you're not allowed to do melacha, you're not allowed to go and even talk about melacha on Shabbos. There's no pasuk in the Chumash, it's a pasuk in Tanakh. Okay, what do we learn from that? Don't talk business on Shabbos. Only business you should talk about is the business of Torah, about Shabbos Kodesh, about doing mitzvahs. Don't talk about business. Okay, so what happens if a person uses a very, very vague term in referring to business? What is that? You have a yid that wants to employ another yid to go and do a malacha for him. So if he would say to him after Musaf on Shabbos morning as you're eating Kiddush, Yankel, do me a favor, come over tonight because I want to hire you to go and plow my field tomorrow, that would be Nimsechefs Medavidava, that would be awesome. So what does he do? He uses much more vague terms. He says to him, Leyoimar al-Khaber, Hanira, Rashi says Hanira is like a Loshid Bitmiya. Hanira, is it possible that you might come over tonight after Havdalah, an hour after Havdalah? Is it possible you can come over to me tonight to talk? Doesn't say what they're going to talk about. Maybe he wants to go and show him his newest sefer that he printed and show him the Divrei Torah. Maybe he wants to invite him for Malav and Malka. Maybe he wants to share with him some Uvdois of Tzadikim. Doesn't say. What he really has in mind is, if you come over tonight, we can talk about whether I can hire you tomorrow. But he didn't say the malach and I'm hiring you. He just spoke in these very vague terms. Can I, as a person, allowed to say, Yankel, if you're able to, please come over to me tonight, to my home. Zoktatana kama lo yoimer adam lachaber nira. Hanira, is it possible for you to come over? Shetamid alai imi le'erev. Not allowed to. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said, no. Oimer adam lachaber hanira shetamid imi le'erev. Why? Because he didn't use the term malach. He didn't say avoida. He just talked in the most vague terms about maybe he can come over tonight. That's permissible, said Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. How do we pass it? Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchas, said Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Next case, Tana Rabban, Hanisha lechachem v'timei. Person had a shayla, got something like tumas v'taharis, he goes up to one chachem, chachem says, I'm sorry to tell you, it's stomach. Le'yisha lechachem v'yitu, he shouldn't go across the street to another chachem and hope he's going to go and get a heter now. He should not do that. Once he went to the first chachem, it's stomach. Similarly, lechachem v'asar, if he goes to one chacham and he asks, I want to know, is this behema treifa or not? Lemoshel, leyishul adam v'yater. If the first chacham says, I'm sorry, it's asar, you can't eat it, it's a treifa, you see there's a hole in the lungs, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to the other chacham, hoping that he's going to be matzah. Don't do that. You already have your psak. However, what happens if you have the two sitting together, lemoshel? Echem etam v'echem etar, and he brings in his shaylin b'smedish, and the two dayanim are sitting together, nuvasaltir. I think it's stomach, the other one, I think it's tar. What do you do now? Or, echad ois v'yechad mat. Says the Tanakh. Im hoye echad mehem godl mechaber b'chachm minyan. If one of them was renowned as a great, great poisek, a great godl, and the other one just got smicha yesterday, oh, in such a situation, heilach acharov, go after that godl mechaber b'chachm minyan. The imlav, however, if they're both basically the same stage in terms of their chochma and inyan. The neilachachem machmer go after the machmer, whoever the machmer, the one that asked or whoever one was metame, you follow his psak. Reb Shimon Korcho Oime, it really depends. Are we talking about a shayla v'diraisa, a shayla d'rabbanan? We all know that if a Sofik d'iraisa is the chumra, a Sofik d'rabbanan is the kula. So if it's bishol toira heilachachar a machmer, if the shayla we're talking about, then you go after the machmer. Bishol sofrim, if you're talking about a din of tumah or an isur d'rabbanan, heilachachar a meikul, then you can be meikul. And guess what? Amr of Yosef. Again, we pass Reb Shimon ben Korcha.
What's the expression? Usually, we talk about a bezden in number, but yeah. How can one person be greater in minyan?
Very good. Oh, so that would be either one shot would be that this had the one
Zaken,
that's meikel.
Zaken, one's a surbid rabbi.
Right, exactly. One is 70 years old, the other is 40 17. Years old, or 17, or whatever the halacha is, or whatever his age was. That would be one shot, or it's a borrowed lashon, since everywhere else it says that you can't go and be mevatel divrei bezdin okay, in the new bezdin in chacham minyan. It was just a borrowed term; it really means bechacham.
See that actually on numbers and number of scholars.
Oh, the number of students, number of students.
It's a very nice pshat. That's not the pashut pshat anymore. Because pshat in pashut anymore, the hoyu shnai, echem etam yechem etam. She's saying the shnai means. He's a Rosh Hashiva and there are 20 Talmidim with him. And the other one is a smaller Rosh HaKoyel that only has 3 Talmidim with him. I mean, it's a nice pshat, it's not mashmal pashas anymore. Anyway, continuing on, Tana Rabbanan. Another, you had already 3 Talmidim Shuv and Karcha by Unz. And these other two, one Gabi Hilcha Shabbos and one Gabi Tum Batara, Isra Behetr. And we have one final halacha of Shuv and Karcha, Tana Rabbanan. The Kulin Shechozer Ben in Mekablan Oysam Oylomis, Divir Ameyim. What is this all about? We're talking about, says Rashi, either an Amoret or a Gazlan. And the Tzara Shavu Shebehen about both of them is they're not Ne'amon, the Gabis, Hilchois, Masris, and Shvias. As we know, for instance, the whole halacha of Demai is based on that, although Roiv Amoret Ma'asrenheim, nevertheless there was a distinct minority that were not Ma'aser, and therefore the Chum said, anytime you go and buy Tvua from an Amoret, you don't know for sure. You can assume that the truma was given because he only dechita achas, and also because that's a din of misa. But whether or not he gave masas or not, ichveisnish by demai, you got to be makbid. Okay, chas v'shalom a person amoret and he wants to be upgraded to become a talmid chacham, or we talk about amoret. The same thing Rashi says lemosh legabi a gazlan. A gazlan loses his nemonis because he's a gazlan. Therefore, when he sells tvor. You don't even know that it's his tour, it might be stolen tour. And certainly if he goes and tells you, well, I'm telling you, I gave all the masters, you can't go and trust him. However, Kun Shechazben, if they did Shuva, in the case of the Amoritz, presumably means that he went and learned in Yeshiva for the next 6 months or a year, until he knows all the Hilchas, Trumas, and Maisers, and Shvias, Shemitah, and the like. Or the Gazlan, he made a public declaration, I do Shuva, and from now on I'm going to be a good Jew. Says the Tanakhama, in the Kabbalah Shalomis. I'm sorry, you could stand on your head. Once you developed a bad reputation, you can't change it. Divrei Reb Meir. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Gadol learns a little bit differently, but that's how Rashi learns. Pshat in the Mishnah, in this price, you're stuck. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, we do allow for tshuva, but it depends what type of tshuva. Chozer ben Bitmat Moinios, if the tshuva he did was a quiet tshuva, not a public tshuva, a mekablenoisan, because the average person doesn't know that he's on tshuva. We're assuming that he still is the same amaret, or that he's still the same gazlan, and therefore, even though privately I hear me'achori hapargot that he's on tshuva, but the world doesn't know about this, and therefore you can't rely on it. And then a mekablenoisan, you still cannot accept from them any maisris, any tvua. If there's a shail of maisri, mekabi shail of shmita. That's what Moinis. If I has here, however, if everybody sees in this medish, oh, that this Gazlan has now turned the
corner.
The corner, good. And now he is Baruch Hashem, he's become an Erech Eden, you see how he acts and how he conducts himself, then Mekablanois and you can. So far we have Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. And then Ikriyami, there's another version of Rabbi Yehuda. This difference between Moinis and Befahesia is not vis-a-vis the tshuva that he did, rather vis-a-vis his original crime. Mass, the original crime. Again, if we're talking about a Gazlan, it's easier. Also, the Vrembet Matmoinios, if the original crimes he did it quietly, So people don't even know that he's a kasslan. And now he's doing charata, mekablen oisan. Then you can mekabel him from now and on, that he has now a toidas chover, and we can rely on it. However, Behesia, if he did these terrible masim previously, Behesia, in front of everyone, he did it, Rashi says, like in a brazen manner, hoy upokru kokach, pokru is like a loshen hefker, he was a matazah ha'oza with such a chutzpah, he did these type of things, Behesia, I'm afraid if he is a goslin, he is not changing, not turning the corner, even though he says he is. So we won't accept him. So that was two versions of Reb Yehuda. And now we have the final mandiyama here. We have Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Karcha. Oh, Reb Shimon Karcha. It makes no difference what his background was, whether it was Befahesia, whether it was Betzina. Bottom line, if the person is a real bona fide chozer b'tshuva, mekablen, he can turn the corner, he can now have the title chover. How do I know? Shnem, it's in the pasuk, shuvu banim shivavim. Shivavim means rebellious. So it means that even rebellious children, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, shuvu, you can return. So this person who was very rebellious, he was a gazlan. Nevertheless, he does tshuva, he can come back and he become a chover for these Hilchus Masaris and Shemitah, etc. How do you think we pask it? Reb Yitzchak Shvar Akim, Reb Yochanan Hilchus Ka'isi Hazug, meaning like Reb Shimon and Yeshua ben Karcha. So Baruch Hashem, our Reb Shimon Karcha in our Machlokes Lagabi the Lefnei Yidein Shloishi Yomim, as well as those other three halachas, we pask it in each case like Reb Yeshua ben Karcha.
Interesting, Reb Yeshua ben Karcha, whether or not he's a son of Reb Yekiva, he's that generation, and the other Tanoim are all students of Reb Yekiva, who started out as an Am Aretz, and did tshuva and became the teacher of all these Tanoim. It's very ironic that they should be so, the other students should be so grudging about doing tshuva and Am Aretz doing tshuva and being upgraded to a chaver.
Very good.
Their brothers.
No. Reshu ben Korcha and might have been a son of Rabbi Akiva, but Reb Shimon, the mayor of Yehuda, were all students of Rabbi Akiva. They were all, they're the ones after all the students died in the plague. They're among the ones who read Ribble Torah.
The Toisis on the bottom doesn't go with your Svara, but Toisis does say that the Lashon of the Braisa doesn't sound like Rashi learned, and the way he learns the Braisa instead is we're talking about a goslin who already did tshuva, and he already was accepted as a chover, and he was chozar l'suroi, which means unfortunately he retracted and he went back to his goslanist days, and now he wants to come back a second time. In such a case,
it's like bad milk.
So therefore, then you wouldn't have a ride. The Gabbai Rabbi Akiva here, we're talking about a person who was originally bad, became good, retreated, became bad again. Will we take him back?
Do we ever consider a chaver retreating again, becoming an Am Aretz? I don't think so. I think it's one way usually. I mean, a goslin maybe. A goslin, I can see, but a chaver.
You can't become an Am Aretz in terms of losing your wisdom, unless, of course, you don't learn for the next 20 years.
Your status as a chaver.
Exactly. On to the next mission. The mission we had already yesterday, Reb Shmuel Eiman. Shloish lefneim and shloish achareim is aser. Not only shloish lefneim, but also three. Like we learned in the first Mishnah. The Gemara is going to ask shortly, aren't the Chum the same as the Tanakhama, the first Mishnah? My Beinayu, we'll see that in a moment. And again, Omer of Techliva Bar Abdimi Yom Yishmol, we had the same Gemara yesterday, Yom Aleph, the Rabbi Yishmol, the Oilam Aser. Since Yom Aleph is Sunday, and as we said yesterday, the Meiri brings that it was the Minhag among the Bavlian, that they would go and worship the sun, and that was their god. And every Sunday they made a ganze chog, a ganze yontif. In fact, they called that day Sun Day to celebrate the creation of the sun and the fact that the sun is their god and does all the wonderful things for them, etc., etc. So, according to that, if Sunday, every single Sunday, happens to be a chog, 3 days before and 3 days later, that means the whole week, you can never do business with them. And that's what a Chalifa Bar Dimi said, the name of Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Oyla Masr, you're never allowed to do any of the things that we had in our Mishnah, the Mecca Chomemker and the Halvois and the Sheila, etc., because of the fact that it's always 3 days before or 3 days, one of their Chagois, meaning Sundays. So how are you going to make parnasa? You're going to have to make parnasa from your fellow Jew. According to Rabbi Natam, there will be another Eitzah, because Rabbi Natam back in Daf Bey says that the only prohibition of Mekach HaMemker is to go and sell them something as Roy the Takroy for a sacrifice or a libation.
Send them sell them pencils.
Exactly. Pencils and pens and chairs and tables. Don't go and sell them animals or wine or perhaps oil to use as a sacrifice. The first Mishnah also said Lifnei Idein. So how are these chachom saying anything different? Everything more. So Gemara is going to give now four nafkiminis between the chachomim of the Tanakama of the first Mishnah and the chachomim of this Mishnah. Zok to Gemara, ikibinai Tanakama sober hein below idein, Rabban Basra Yisabri hein the idein. Not that we know for certain, but since Gemara at the end yesterday said Shema Mino, that it's hein below idein tanan, meaning 3 days. Besides the chag itself, for a combination of 4 days, so that's how the Gemara concluded yesterday. Lafi the Tanakama, and since the Gavi the Rabbanim Basroi means a chum over here, we didn't even raise the topic. So presumably, since there is a new unidentified body of Tanoim called Rabbanim Basroi, these chachamim, presumably the old Savri hey the Idayim. In other words, it's the 3 days do include the chag. So therefore, the machlokes would be: is it 3 days before? Or only 2 days before. Iba Yisema, no kapshat. Nosav and nosav ikiminai. You remember we had a machlokes yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Kuli al moidi and I'll let it do Mekach HaMemker prior to their yomtiv, their chagah. What happens if whoever, if a person violated and he did a nosav and nosav and as a result he profited? Can you use the profits of this quote unquote criminal activity? Or can you not? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Says he more, that could be the machlok between the original Tanakama and our Chacham of our Mishnah. Tanakama sover nosav nosan is mutter. In other words, the chatchila, don't do it asur, but b'dieved, you can go and benefit from the profits of selling the animal or selling the pencils or whatever. Rabban Sabroi, that no. Rabban Basroi Sabri, nosav nosan is asur. Now, where would we find in our Mishnah that the Rabban Basroi are more machmir than the Tanakama? We really don't, except says Rashi, that since whenever we have such a shaila of you have an earlier Tanakama and then you have a later Chachamim, you're not sure who holds what, the standard rule is you assume that the new Chachamim that come in onto the picture are coming to be Machmir. And they're saying, don't say like the Tanakama says, that I want to be Mekel, but in fact we want to be Machmir. If you have strong indication one way or the other, that's different. But if it's kind of silent on the issue, then you should assume that the Rabbanu Basra come to Mach. Ah, so therefore, in this Shail of Nosav and Nosan, since the Tanakhama and Daf Beis is only talking about the Chetchila, Osir, you're not allowed to do Mekach HaMemker, you're not allowed to do lending and all the rest. Ah, that's the Chetchila. But B'dieven, maybe it's Mutter. And our Chacham, who used the expression, Chomayim Lefnei Adein, Osir, he's telling even Li'achar HaMaisa, even if you did the Nosav and Nosav, but the evidence holds us.
So the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, should be a Machlokas Tanoim, exactly. The Tanakama and the Rabbanu Basroi.
Exactly right. But we did not bring that yesterday because it doesn't have to be that that's the Machlokas, because we have at least three other possible Nafkiminis. The boy said, the Shmuel Kiminai, the Yoma Shmuel, the Goyle Ein Osra El Yoim Idom, Tanakama is Lady Shmuel, Rabbanu Basroi, and last Lady Shmuel. Our Gemara is telling us that the Mishnayis were codified back in Eretz Yisrael, by Rabbein HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi was the Nossi of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they said 3 days before. In Goyle, they said, no, only 1 day before. By Unz and Golis, outside of Eretz Yisrael, only 1 day.
One day before?
What's the reason for that? So Rashi gives two reasons. If you look at the Rashi, Begoyle, about a quarter down, Begoyle, Ein HaTechama Dukin Kol Kach, Ba'avoidus Kechom. Like we're going to say, number one, they're not really sincere. Many of them don't go to Mass on Sundays. Many of them don't really believe it. If they go through it, they just go through the motions. Mitzvah sanoshim milumada. So they don't really believe in the whole thing. Oh, so therefore, don't worry about that. If I do a transaction, they're going to go and be moided to the avoid Zara. They're not so frugal. Reform, if you will, or reconstructionist
pagans.
Oh.
So Yom Eidam Bilvad is just the holiday itself or the day before? I'm a little
which saying is good, could very well be Ela b'yom eidim bilvad. Yeah, I take back.
Okay.
Only
okay,
one day.
Okay.
What I was really doing, I was misquoting, because Nochem Hamodai in three more lines is going to say one day. But you're right. I apologize. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. So we're talking about yom eidim bilvad, only on that day of the holiday, no 3 days, whatever. Another reason that Rashi gives, ba'oid to mistafina minayu. We are afraid of the idolaters of the goyim in Chutzlaritz, what they might do to us. That's the svar, of course, of Eva. That if we're not going to go and sell them stuff, then we're mistafina minayu. Therefore, we will allow for a sale up to the final moment until the holiday, and holiday put up a big sign on your
close
door,
cross.
Close for the holiday, just don't open, then you don't have any problem. It's okay, you want.
In terms of Shmuel, so we were saying that it was they would never be able to, according to what was said, if it were 3 days before, not including their holiday,
right,
they'd never be able to transact with them. So
correct.
But it's so I don't understand why there was a machlokas, because it seems apparent that he left some room. Is that how he came out? Then there was
that was the conclusion more yesterday.
So it had to be. It was only it included there.
According to Rabbi Shmuel, the 3 days do not include the Chag, and if it's 3 plus 1 plus 3, 7 days, and that's why
you can never
the oilam us. You can never transact business with Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, with the idolaters.
Well, then say oilam us, or what the language is.
You ask a kasha on the Gemara. By the way, everything that you're raising now has nothing to do with what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. Okay, just don't want it to be mass confusion here in the audience. But Shmuel said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you would never be able to transact business with the Ovdei Chachavim. If these are Ovdei Chachavim that can make Sunday for Sunday, and make a Gantz holiday, and you can't go and do business with them Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and you can't do business Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and certainly you can't do Yom Eidim. You can never transact business with them.
Right, but I'm just saying, according to that, the mission's not to do that because it just said the Olam.
Yeah, okay, what can I tell you? Rav Tachlif Baradimi, Omar Shmuel says that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Yoim Aleph is always Aser, and therefore you can never transact business with them. Period. It's always 3 days before. Okay, if you want, maybe Shmuel would say, but if you happen to go to Australia, and they're in Australia, you see that the people do not worship the sun like the original Babi. So therefore, they don't make Sunday into a Gantza holiday. They went and did away with all the blue laws and the Sunday laws.
They go to the beach.
And they don't believe any of this anymore. So then you'd be able to transact business. It's only those places where the Yom Aleph is problematic.
Oh, thank you. Despite the politics,
Dafyomi
goes on.
Exactly right.
Better believe it.
You're right. Anyway, to get back to our Gemara.
So
we have a machloikis whether we paskin like Shmuel. What Shmuel? Ekmanad Yom Shmuel, go ahead, I'll tell you. Adam, Tanakami is Lady Shmuel, but Rabban Basra, less of Shmuel, you have to have the 3 days. And again, the Rashi says over here, why would I think that the Rabban Basra is more machmir? Because if I have a machloikis, we assume that the new Tana that comes on the scene is more machmer than the original Tana. So therefore, our Mishnah doesn't talk about Goyla, and we know that Shmuel said this halacha, so we're going to assume the Tana Kam would hold the Goyla Taka only Yom Eidam, while Rabban Basroi hold that you have to have 3 days unless it is Shmuel. And even by Yisayim of the final Teretz, the Nochem Amadi Ikmenai. The sign Yehud Nochem Amadai, Chamadi Oimer, and Yosel Yom Echad Lifnei Yidei, and only one day before, not 3 days before. Not only the Goyla, everywhere. He disagrees with our mission. It's not a 3 day rule, it's a 1 day rule. Tanakam unless the Nochem Amodai, the Barabasroi, Islehu the Nochem Amodai. Our Tanakam obviously doesn't hold like Nochem Amodai because he says 3 days. Nothing to talk about. Our Barabasroi and our Mishnah don't say how many days. They just say, Lifnei Dein is Aser. So until now we assumed it's 3 days because after all, the first one says 3 days.
Shmuel saying 3 days.
Shmuel says three before, three afterwards. No, it's just Lifnei Dein. So we assumed it's 3 days. But the Gemara says, not only the arguing on Lefneim and Lachareim, they're also arguing on the number of days. The Chum hold only 1 day. Rabban Basroi Islu the Nochem Hamadai. This will, of course, be a situation where the Rabban Basroi are more makel than the Tanakama. But that's because the Tanakama, we cannot change. He says, the Fadish, 3 days. That's Shloshiyam. There's nothing to talk about. So what's Machlegu the Chum? The Chum, perhaps in this case, are more makel. You only need 1 day, you don't need 3 days. Now, since we spoke about Nochem Amadai, from here until the Mishnah on Ches Amun Aleph, we're going to talk about another three or four Nochem Amadais. And as you'll see, for some unfortunate reason, each time the Chacham felt Nochem Amadai does not say the correct halacha. And therefore they said, Rabbi Yisai, don't quote Nochem Amadai, don't follow Nochem Amadai, we don't haskin like that. And we'll see a discussion about that. Gufa. Nochem Amadai oima ima yosa eli oima echad, nei day, only one day. Amr lois, the Chacham in the Bismedish said, nishtakeya hadovu lei nemar. We should forget about what a Nochem Amadai has just said, and it should not be repeated. Rashi says, two pshatim, Rashi parallel to our Gemara, nishtakeya hadovu, lo yotze dover zem mipi odom li oilam. We're saying, perhaps even Nochem Amadai didn't say it, and what we're quoting the name of Nochem Amadai is just not true. Or, yes, Nochem Amadai said it, but among all of the Tanoim in that time, no one even had the thought, what are those... exactly. No parking signs, no standing. Don't even think of standing over here. Nobody even thought like Nochem Amadai. Forget about Nishtakeda. Lishnachrena, liyotze dover zeh, or liyetze dover zeh lechutz. Here in Besmedish, we can talk about it. Academically, we can have a machlokes, but Rabbi Yisai, when you leave the Besmedish, nobody should pass like Nochem Amadai. We don't want this one-day rule. Everybody holds 3 days. Okay, nishtakeh dovolinim. Frey timar. And we're going to have three or four cases like this, Rabbi Yisai. So, remember the first shot of the Rashi was, l'yotze dovizem b'pi adam l'olim. Nobody else said anything like this Nochem Amadai, so therefore, don't repeat it. Didn't we just say, according to that fourth pshat, that the Rabbana Basrei of our Mishnah hold like Nochem Amadai? So what are you telling me? Nobody ever said it. The Chum of our Mishnah. In fact, the Chacham Oimrim, take away the Chacham Oimrim, put in the words Nochem Amadai, he is that Tana. But guess what? No other Tana alive from Allah Tanoim. Nobody else said that psak halacha.
So why Rebbe, you shouldn't publicize it, why Rebbe put it in the Mishnah?
Very good question. Tanya idach, Nochem Aisa. Again, not related to us. Nochem Amadai oima moichel hen tzus zocher zokin b'mecham. Amalei nishtakeh adobu v'lei nemar. What is this all about? This has to do with selling an animal to a non-Jew, not because of avodah zarah lefnei yedeh. No, this is not an avodah zarah halacha. This is a Shabbos kodesh halacha. As we know, there's a din of shvisas behemtai. Not only are you not allowed to do you're not allowed to work on Shabbos, the man yinuach shorcha v'chamirecha. You have a few psukim in the Torah, both in the Dibris Rishonis, Dibris Achronis, as well as elsewhere in the Torah, that says that you're not allowed to have even your animals do work on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, what's the din about selling an animal to a goy? The goy is going to work with an animal on Shabbos. What's the problem? At that point, it's a goyish animal. It's no longer a Jewish animal, right? It belongs to the goy. It doesn't belong to the Jew. The goy doesn't have a din of shvisa behemtai. The chum, whoever made a gzeira, if you're going to allow a handel where a person can go and sell animals to a goy, guess what happens if you have a whole bunch of animals and they're not selling easily? You'll start
renting
them, and you'll open up your Hertz renter behema. And then they're going to go and rent your behemoths on Shabbos, for Shabbos. They're going to do malacha with a Jewish animal on Shabbos. Oh, therefore they said, don't even sell a goy any animal because of that.
Don't even rent.
You're not allowed to rent me ikradin. But because you're going to come to rent, they said, don't even sell. Now, we have a case of, there's a melchama going on outside, and people are buying now susim. Why are they buying susim? For the military, for the infantry.
War horses.
Good. So that also becomes problematic, as we'll see in a moment. Nochem Amadai said, if you're selling during melchama times a suzocher zokin, an alta sus, where Rashi says there's a strong likelihood that this sus is not going to stand for very, very long. Mm-hmm. It's also the kalkel. This is a very unusual situation that someone should go and buy such an altishka horse. It's so unusual, it's a dovet l'shchicha. L'shchicha le'gazer ba'rabanan. Come on, only goys are in normal cases, not cases that, very exceptional cases, one in a million. Who is going to go and buy an alt horse for a mechami. You want to buy a brand new or a labor because a guy, exactly. So because it happens to be so schwach and so old, they were not guys, and you're allowed to go and sell such a sauce. Amr lights again, the Chum said, Nachamadai, Nishakeh, Adabalei Nema. Nobody repeat this halacha with Nachamadai because nobody ever said it until now. We think this is not the halacha. Don't repeat it outside of the Smedish. Pray Timara. Nobody else. We can Ben Beseda to Koy Gavase. Titnan Ben Beseda, Matir Besus. Ben Beseda says, you're allowed to go and sell a horse. Where is this Ben Beseda? We're going to learn Mitchum in a week. And Daf Yudalad Amit Beis, it's going to be a Mishnah here. You're allowed to go and sell a horse. Oh, so you see that somebody else agrees that you're allowed to sell a horse. So why are you telling me it's only Nochem Amadi and nobody else ever says? Ben Beseder says. Says you want that out. Ben Beseder lemaflik bein tzchorim lenekevis, as well as says Rashi and bein atzoyer and izokin. He goes across the board vis-a-vis susim. What is the reason why Ben Beseder says you're allowed to go and sell horses? Because he said the whole reason why you cannot go and sell another behemoth, because the other behemoth is going to do work on Shabbos. And even though you sell it to the guy, and therefore it's no longer yours, because Zayda Otto, you're going to go and rent the animal. What happens by a sus? Sus doesn't do any malacha of diaraisa. If you take a horse and you ask the horse to plow your field, the horse is just going to go horsing around and will not plow the field for you.
And you say nay.
Nay, exactly. He's not going to do it. What do people use horses for?
Riding.
For transportation, for riding. Is there a problem of riding on a horse on Shabbos?
Yes, it's Darbanan.
Oh,
because you might snap off a branch and give a chas.
But it's not the Arise, it's only Darbanan. Ah, see, it's only Darbanan. The whole, if you were to go and rent an animal to them and they're going to ride on it like riding in a car, they're riding in the back of the horse, it'd only be over an Iser Darbanan. There's no Shvises Behemtai of riding on an animal. Menah Torah, only Drabanan. Ah, so now to go and add another Drabanan, not to go and sell him the horse, that would be like Xera. And therefore they said, says Ben Beseder, you're allowed to go and sell the horse. However, says the Gemara, Zok to Gemara, Ben Beseder lemafik bin tzchorim lenekevis, an older and younger. He, meaning Nochem Amodai, the kamafik bin tzchorim lenekevis, and older and younger, he's Drabanan Tzvirlei. He holds like the Drabanan that what? That you're not allowed to go and sell horses in general. Only this exceptional case, because the animal is already old and feeble and frail, there you're allowed to, but otherwise not. Ah, therefore, in other words, yes, there is a Ben Beseder that's Matir Susim, generally. However, among all the other Tanoim that disagree and say, no, Sus is no different than any other animal, you're not allowed to go and sell, among all those other Rambanan, we have now a Das Yach with Nochem Amodai that distinguishes between certain types of horses and other types of horses. Mishtakeh Dover, Loi Plug, don't distinguish between one and the other.
In communities where horses are used for plowing,
yeah,
with the Gezerah against selling, renting slash selling a plow, because it would enter into that problem?
Maybe it would. Maybe that would really become a double Shriach.
The situation is saddled with more responsibility.
Yeah. We're talking about in the communities where this is not an issue. Tanya, another halach. Nochem Adi Oimer. Now this is not a Shabbos. This is HaSheves. Sheves is a type of spice that is used for garnishing or doing your cooking, whatever. In the Rashi gives a couple of terms which are not familiar to me. Rashi says it's Yerek, Shekorin, either Avir, or Beloshin Roimi, Anito. But we have the good fortune of having the art scroll that says that this is Dill. D-I-L-L.
Oh, we know what dill is.
We know what dill is. And what is the dill? Dill is the type of thing, says the Gemara, it's misaser, you have a chiev of trumas and maestres, already at zera, yerek, or zirin. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. Dill is the type of thing where there are three types of customers who eat dill. Some eat zroim, they eat the seeds, like you have in Eretz Yisrael, the pumpkin seeds, you put the seeds in the
mouth. Seeds.
Sunflower seeds. And then especially you see sometimes, etc. Okay, I'm sure you've seen that or know what I'm talking about. The yerek, some people go and plant the dill seeds so that you grow into full-fledged dill.
Dill seeds.
Sorry?
Dill seeds are much smaller, and the word used in modern Hebrew is shamir.
Ah, they're smaller. But there are people that eat dill seeds, I guess. Right?
They're very tiny.
Okay. Okay, but there is a market for it. Yerek, some people allow them to grow into full-fledged vegetables. And then Zirin. Zirin means Rashut. So that's somewhere in between the little seed stage and the full-blown Yerek stage. But because there are three types of customers and people that eat in that fashion, each one of them is considered already Gemar Melacha Lemaiser. Don't say about a seed. Ah, come on. Who eats seeds? And therefore, you got to wait until it grows. No. There are a lot of people that eat seeds, and therefore, Misasa, you have Tumas and Maises already in any one of these three stages. That was Nachum Amadei. Amalai, Mishtakeh, Adavalei Nemar. A boy said, don't repeat this halacha outside of his medish. Why not? But Iker Blazer, the Koyka Vaser, Blazer holds Mamish, did not. Blazer, Oymer, Hashemis, Mr. Seres, Zerav Yerik Vazir. Don't tell me that nobody ever said this halacha. Besides Nachum Amadei, we had Blazer. And for the more Hassan, Diriguninisa. Diriguninisa means if you're growing the dill in a garden. Mm-hmm. You grow it in the garden, and some people talk to grow it for Zera, some for Yerik, some for Zirin. However, if you are producing it in a field, which is presumably more of a on a commercial basis, not just a particular person who has an appetite to eat the dill seeds or whatever, so then everybody, says Rashi, goes and grows it for purposes talk of the seeds. See the Rashi with Gununisa, the first wide line. Everybody's his preference, one of those three stages. Everybody buys it and uses it just like you buy mustard seeds and then you use it and you chop them up and you grind them and you make mustard out of it. Same thing is, you have the same thing with agave, the dill seeds, that you either eat it that way or they crush it and they make it into some sort of dill spread or whatever. So this Sevaita Nocham Madi has nobody else, he's the only one. In a field, Nishtakeh Dovulei Nema. Don't even repeat it, forget about it. That's the end of the
Nocham Madi section.
Not the section, but of the Nishtakeh Dovulei Nema. So now, Omli Rav Acha Bar Menyumi Li Abaye. Gavar Rabba Osame Asrei. Rashi's Asrei means Unzrishtot, which means that he, Rav Acha Bar Menyumi, also came from Madai. And now he feels a little bit discriminated against. Honestly. He says to Abaye, Gavar Abba Osmi Asrei, this great Nochama Mother, obviously he's no small potatoes, because he's brought in these, he's a Tana, he's brought in these prices. Gavar Rabba comes from us, from Modai, Kol Miltadam, every halacha that he says, Amli Nishtakeh Devlei Nema, Shema, come on. Okay. At least give him one halacha that we should paskin like him, and not say Nishtakeh Devlei. Omar Sabaye said, I'll give you a consolation. We do paskin like Nacham Madi in another situation. Oh, that's great. Which one? The same Nacham Madi. I must show Odom Tzrochav Yishamei Tzvilah. Anybody besides, of course, the regular text of the Shemoneh Esrei that we all are familiar with, when it comes to Shemei Tzvilah, you can insert your own private tzvilas and say, Rabbi Yishalayim, I need Parnasa, I need Nachas, I need a Shidduch, I need a this, I need a that, I need a Refuah. You can always go insert those words of your own personal tefillah in Shemei Tefillah. Says the Gemara, we paskin like that Nochama Madai. Oh! So Rav Acha Bar Menyumi should have been happy. However, Omer Bar Minodahi, I'm very, very sorry, that is not a good riot. The Tani Bashir Rabbi, that we paskin like that, it's not because we're paskin Nochama Madai, because we're paskin like the great Ashli. The two pshatim in Ashli Rabbi either means the great strong ropes or cords, or it means the great, strong Ilonis, the tall trees. What does he mean to say? We're not really passing like Nochem HaModai, it's because we found another great Tana that said the Allah of Nochem HaModai, and that's why we pass in that you can insert your Tzorach HaMishmei Tzorach, but nothing to do with Nochem HaModai. Who are these Ashvi Ravavi that you are quoting? The Sanya, we have a Braisa. Reb Leza Oy Mishael Adam Tzorach HaViyach Kach Yispal. Reb Leza disagrees with Nochem HaModai, and he says that if you have your own personal bakoshes, when you are get ready to daven shachris mincha marid, before you start your Shemoneh Esrei, or even before you start davening, sit down, maybe say a couple kapitel tillim, and say, Rabbi Yishalom, I have all of these needs. I need a Yeshua, I need a Refuah, I need a Parnasa, whatever it is. And then after that, you spell in your daven your Shemoneh Esrei. How do you know? Should have it in the pasuk. Tefillah oni ki atov. This person, in a sense, is an oni. Oni meaning that he needs something, he's desiring something from Rabbi Yishalom. That should be the first tefillah. And after that, you should be shoyfeach. You should go and pour out your siach. What means siach? In siachal tefillah shenem aviyitz yitzchak l'suach basad. Ah, so therefore the order is your tefillah ani that you're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for a special tzayrech. and then you say Yish Baisichai, say the regular tefillah, the Shemon Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer just the opposite. It's first daven the whole Shemon Esrei, the Yachai Yishitzrochem, and then at the end, for instance, by Elakain Etzor,
yes,
or after the whole Shemon Esrei is over, then you can ask Yitzrochem, Shenemar, Eshbech Lefon of Sichi, first I go and pour out my Siach, my Shemon Esrei, and then Tzoros Lefon of Agi, and then I tell my Tzoros to the Baruch Shem. Neither of these are like Nochem and Matai. One says you say it before Shemon Esrei, the other one says you say it after Shemon Esrei. Now the Gemara says, Reb Lezer Nami, Hoksiv Eshbech Lefon of Sichi. What does Reb Lezer do? Remember, what was Reb Lezer? That was the first Tana. And Reb Lezer says, Yeshua Tzorochem, and after that Yispal. What does he do with the Pasik of Reb Yeshua? The Reb Yeshua said, Eshbech Lefon of Sichi, Tzorosi Lefon of Agid, which sounds like, say Yeshmon Esrei first. Hoki Komar, Eshbech Lefon of Sichi, Bizman Shit Tzorosi Lefon of Agid. In other words, we have a machloikis. How do you define the word Tzorosi Lefon of Agid? Tzorosi Lefon of Pashup Shat means I pour out my heart or I tell my Tzoros Lefon of before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Wait, Reb Lezer is saying, no, Tzorosi Lefon of, already prior to the Siach, Eshbech Lefon of Sichi, I'm going to go and say my Shemon Esrei, Bizman Shit Tzorosi Lefon of, already prior thereto, I already shared my burdens, my Tzoros with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So Lefon of means prior to the Siach. So, no right from that Pasuk of Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua Nami Yaksiv, didn't we have the Pasuk of Tzvila Aniki Yata, Lefnei Hashem Yidu Meksicha, it sounds like the private Tzorachim go first. Hachi Komer, Amos I Tzvila Li Oni, Bizman Shalefnei Hashem Yishpoich Sicha. When I happen to be now in the mood of davening Shemon Esrei, not in the mood when I'm davening Shemon Esrei, at that time, that's when I do my Tzvila Aniki Yata. So not that that precedes it, it's at the same time when I'm doing Shemon Esrei, and therefore ultimately it could be at the end of Shemon Esrei. So therefore, said Imam Mati Kroy like Kamar Dak like Kamar Kadaki. We obviously see that the Psukim are not the definitive. We cannot go and paskin either this way or that way based on the Psukim. So my commitment, what are their svaris? Kinadorish Reb Simlai. Dorish Reb Simlai, the only Misad on Mishwach Shalmak, the Yachach is Pal. In Shemon Esrei, as you know, the first three brachis are Divrei Shevach. We praise Hashem in the first one, in the Ovois, in the Kvurois, in the Kedusha, only starting from Atachoin, and then we ask then for a bakosha. Atachoin Daskim Yisaychel, Ashvein Min Sarasecha, Amidu Tshuva, Slach Lono, etc. But until that, the first three are Divrei Shevach. How do we know this? So he's extolling the praises of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You are great, Godlecha, Hartecha, all is great. After that, says Moshe Beinu, by the way, Kaddish Baruch Hu, do me please a favor. Eretz Oretz Teva. As always, I'd like to go over to Eva Yarn to Eretz Yisrael. So he started off with the Divrei Shevach, and he concluded with his bakosh. So Rabbi Shua said, "Well, you're feeling with Moshe. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu did it up. That's what we should do. And therefore, say Yishmon Esrei first, said Rabbi Shua, and only at the end will you go and pour out your heart with Tzitzrochim l'Moshe by the kind Tzar, which when Esrei is over." Rabbi Lezer said, "Well, you're feeling with Moshe. I can't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shani Moshe Darab Kuvrei. Moshe Rabbeinu. How can I compare Moshe Rabbeinu? If I'm not even the same league, and I can't talk about like Moshe Rabbeinu did." Okay, so now all of that was fascinating, but really had nothing to do with Nochem Amadei. Not like Reb Lezer that says you should go and do the Tzrochem first, and not like Reb Shua that says you should do a Tzrochem afterwards. So now we understand what the Gemara was saying. You're giving me a consolation. Don't worry, do Paschal like Nochem Amadei in the case of insert your private Bakoshes into Shemei Tfilah. No, it's the Ashli Rabavi. It's the Chachomim. That's why we are rely on that Lalacha, not because of Nochem Amadei. Omer Yehuda Bered of Shmuel Bashidim Shmei the Rab Avav Bisha Omer Shoyal Adam Etzrochem Shmei Atfula Avim Bo Loim Epsayf Kol Brocha Ubrocha Me'en Kol Brocha Ubrocha Oimer. Let's say a person knows that he's not so smart. He needs more wisdom. At the end of Atachoyin, let him das. He could say, oh, by the way, Rabbi Yisrael, before he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chayin Adoas, I could use another ounce of intelligence and smartness and play. Or if it comes to Marshall too, you need a Parnasa. At the end of Baruch Aleinu, you can go and say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, remember me, I need Parnasa. By the end of Rufa'enu, that's we have the Yiratzin that you put in private in the middle. Why do you put the Yiratzin for a private Chayla? Because you ain't called Baruch Abracha, you can go and do that.
They don't mention Nochem Amadei. They say Chacham Omrim. It's a generic in the third line. It says Chacham Omrim. It doesn't say Nochem Amadei Omer. he kind of gets like dismissed. Like, you know,
you're missing the essence of the Gemara. This he was saying Rav Achman Ben Yumi. He's saying no, Chama Modai is a colleague of us. Came from Modai, and every halacha he said, yeah, bash man, the shaker doubly nemado repeated it. He was upset. Abaye says it's not every halacha of Chama Modai. We have one halacha of Chama Modai. Shalom Torah Veshmeta. We follow that. Said now in response to Rav Achman Ben Yumi, Abaye, with all due respect, the reason why we paskin that way is not because of Chama Modai. It's because the Taliyah ba'ashbi ravavi, and so therefore that's not a consolation to me. The reason why we're following this halacha shemayat tefillah, not the dogman, because you have the chacham ma'imrim.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. And therefore Nachamadi is still unfortunately nishtakeh adam, and he's still upset. And unfortunately that's how the Gemara ends. Anyway, just finishing over, b'chi barashi omer rav avisha omer shemayat adam shoyel adam trach b'shemayat tefillah em yesh techoyel b'terech beitzei omer b'chas choyel, like we just said now, like we have the yiratzim. V'im trach l'panasa omer b'chas hashanim, like we said before, baruch alei. What happens after when you come to Elikai Netzar? Let's say he forgot or he didn't have enough time in the middle of Shemei Tzvila, but now he wants to pour his heart out, then he can add on as much as he wants to fill the Kaseidu Yom Kippur Moimer, just as like we know on Yom Kippur, after Amvorcha Samisol Basholim, only from that point on you start doing the Shamna Vaganu, and then you do the Al-Khaitz and the Al-Khatoim, and a Gantz of Vidoy of 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. You can do that throughout the year too. You don't have to wait till Yom Kippur if you want to do tshuva, if you want to go and pour out your heart. You can do it in Shemei Tzvila, but if you want to, after you finish the Hoshman Esrei, you can continue on for the next half hour asking for all your tzrachim.
Ashley sounds like Eshel. It's an interesting word to describe, Ashley.
Well, the Rashi has two pshatim. Presumably, both of them are based on Aramaic. Rashi's second wide line, third wide line, Ashley Ravali. Chavolim ovim chazakim, that means very strong cords, strong ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And Eshel, as we know, has two pshatim, but one pshat is tak Eshel, a tree.
It's by Avram Avinu.
Right. Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. Hatzlacha zayin.